قلت ياكو صاحب اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Thursday morning. I hope all is well in Newcastle. Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, the platform is yours.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah. To our wonderful listeners, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for another opportunity our Allah ta'ala affords us. And every opportunity Allah gives us is but His mercy and grace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all for His deen. May Allah enable us to increase in good deeds. And may Allah enable us all to leave a wonderful legacy in this world. Because every day could be our last opportunity. Alhamdulillah. We were in the discussion of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam and his offspring. Alhamdulillah. So recently we discussed Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam going through the desert of Egypt with his wife Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha. Now, interesting for us to know that the Bible discusses this in somewhat detail also, but I would like you to actually notice how beautifully the Quran and the Hadith expresses these events. And when mistakes comes into the previous scriptures, because the previous scriptures were preserved by man, the Quran and the Sunnah is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is divine protection. So what happened here was, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is in the desert and he's traveling with his wife Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha. This comes in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Hazrat Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam never lied, but on three occasions there was somewhat where he said a certain thing which is interpreted as a white lie. Now I'll explain that hadith, but let's explain what the Bible says and see how the Quran Kareem clarifies it so clearly. Now this is in the chapter called Genesis. This is the first chapter in the Bible. Now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is traveling with Hazrat Sarah. And now he says to Hazrat Sarah that I'm worried about our life. This is the crux of the event. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. That's Genesis chapter 12, verse 11. Now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and it refers to him as Abraham, and then it refers to him as Ibrahim. He now goes with his wife, and now he's worried. So he says to her, that I'm going to say that you are my sister, and you know he might be good to us, and he might give us, you know, some gifts. And Sarah was taken because the king was told that she's so beautiful, extraordinary. Her beauty was extraordinary, and now Ibrahim alayhi salam is left, and Sarah was taken. And what happened then was, the king, when he got to know about the reality of Hazrat Sarah, he then gifted them a lot of gifts. And then he said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, why didn't you tell me? You know? And he was very good to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then the verses continue to say that the king was afflicted with diseases and his family. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam received a lot of gifts from that king. Flock and oxen and sheep and so forth and so forth. When we see the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this clarifies this issue. That Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam traveled there and his wife was seen. They picked her up and they took her. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam started his salah, started his dua. That there was an entire army and soldiers taking his wife. He is one man. And now he's asking Allah. Sometimes we think we're despondent. What can we do? We're alone. We have nobody. Yes, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam taught us. He started his salah. He started talking to Allah. Oh Allah. Anyway, when the king saw Hazrat Sarah, and he tried to approach her, because it's reported historically she was of extraordinary beauty. After Hazrat Hawa, in the entire world, she is most beautiful, radiallahu anha. Anyway, he tried to extend his hand towards her, and Allah paralyzed his hand. And then he begged her pardon, and she made dua, and then he was released. And now he was tempted again. And, you know, he promised, أُدْعِ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَا أَضُرُّكِ فَدَعَتِ اللَّهَ فَأُطْلِقَ ثُمَّ تَنَاوَلَهَا ثَانِيَةً. He tried to take her the second time. And then again, he got paralyzed. فَأُخِذَ مِثْلَهَا. And then he begged her pardon. She made dua for him. And this happened a few times. And then he said to some of his guards, what did you bring to me? This cannot be an insan. إِنَّكَ لَمْ تَأْتِنِي بِإِنسَانِ. What did you bring? Some demon. إِنَّمَا أَتَيْتُمُونِي بِشَيْطَانِ. And then the hadith says, فَأَخْدَمَهَا رَاجَ فَأَتَتْهُ وَهُوَ قَائِمًا يُصَلِّي. The king gifted Hazrat Sarah a gift in the form of Hazrat Hajar. And now Hazrat Sarah returns to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was still in Salah. And then he asked her, what happened? So she said, Allah repelled the plot of the disbeliever. And Allah gifted us Hajar, wa akhdama Hajar. Hazrat Abu Hurairah said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is your mother, O Muslims, ya bani ma'is sama. Now in this hadith, this clarifies something very, very clearly. In the previous books, because it was preserved by man, mistakes come into the book. Like those reports portray, the reports in Genesis, that Ibrahim alayhi salam is worried for his life, so he doesn't speak the truth. And now he also says to Sarah, you know how nice it will be that they'll gift us some nice oxen and flock. So that portrays Ibrahim alayhi salam to be someone who wants from the king. And that is not the actual temperament of the Anbiya alayhi salam. He is not going to lie to get gifts from the king alayhi salatu wasalam. He spoke directly to Namrud from Babylon. He didn't bother about anything. Even when Namrud was not giving him rations, he never lied or made a plan. No, he turned to Allah. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So the hadith portrays the correct image of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Something else portrayed in the report of the Bible, it shows that the king was quite modest. He said, why didn't you tell me the truth? I would have not taken her. But the hadith shows that he actually tried to harm her and na'udhu billah, rape her, and Allah Ta'ala preserved her, and Allah Ta'ala protected her. So it shows, the hadith show the greatness of the Anbiya alayhi salam. We find in many of the biblical versions, and this is why we have to be careful, respected ummah, respected humanity. The Bible, because it was protected by the hands of man, what had happened is, the whisperings of the devil, due to the whisperings of the devil, a lot of changes have crept in. And when the changes have crept in, a lot of disrespect creeps in to the messengers of the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like in the previous chapter I was telling you about Genesis also, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. So this is Genesis 12:11. Genesis 9:21 says that Noah became so drunk. And this is what he did. And that's, so it shows disrespect for the Anbiya. Then the Quran and the Ahadith came to defend the position and the status of the messengers of Allah. Alayhim as-salawatu min Allahi wa taslimat. There's an interesting discussion between Sheikh Ahmad Didat, rahmatullah alayhi, where he explained here, he had a Jewish boss. And some people, you know, in the old days, quite a few, one uncle in Newcastle also mentioned this to me. And not long ago, there was a jamaat from the UK. And he was telling me, I worked for this Jewish company. And the person I worked for was, you know, such a good person. He even said to me, what's the car you like? I'll get for you that car as your company car. Uncle Ismail is telling me that this Jewish owner of the company said to his father, that why don't you take the money from the safe and buy your house? Don't pay bond. Don't pay monthly. You can just pay me slowly. I won't charge you interest. So sometimes you get good human beings, good individuals. Alhamdulillah. So what happened here was, Sheikh Didat was saying to his boss. His boss wanted to experience Indian cuisine. So he asked him, which area should I go to? Just to experience the food Indians eat and so forth. Because I'm getting guests from South America. So he said, sir, come to my place. I'll arrange it for you and I'll take you around and so forth. So he speaks to his wife. And I got my boss and his family and some other family of his from South America. And they prepare some nice biryani and so forth. and when they come, he then gives them the meal, and then the adhan goes. He explains to them the meaning of the adhan, and he says, come, I take you to show you how Muslims pray. And he gave them an entire introduction, how Muslims perform salah, how the salah takes place. And then interestingly, in the discussion, that affected the other superior of the company where he worked. So he says, yeah, you'll never trick me. He says, yeah, I'll be tricking you, but when you're coming to have a meal by my place. First he says, never will I come. But after some months, when he, you know, invited again, he came. He says, you know, I will never agree with Mr. Bear, because I'm telling you, Ismail is illegitimate. You know, that's what he was saying. So he actually used the other word, the B word. So Sheikh then said, okay, tell me, what is worse, to sleep with your slave girl or to sleep with your own sister? Which one would be worse? He said, obviously, incest is the worst of the two. So then he quotes him from the Bible itself. You see, the Bible contradicts itself. It says thereafter that Abraham and Sarah come from the same father. Now that's a change that came into the Bible. That's definitely incorrect. Because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam wedded his uncle's daughter. Hazrat Sarah was his cousin, not his father's daughter. So when he proved that to that second in charge, that man was shocked, you know. And then when he showed him the other verses, because the verses continue, what happened there was, now Hazrat Hajar was their servant. Something interesting for you and I, they always say, no, Hajar was a slave. Allama ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, expresses so beautifully that Hazrat Hajar was a noble woman. She was the daughter of the previous king that this king had overthrown. This king overthrew not long before that, and she was there, and being from such a noble origin, she comes from such a royal family, she was given as a gift to Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anhuma alayhim as-salam. So that is the origin of Hazrat Hajar. Allama ibn Kathir expresses, she comes from a noble origin. Something else interesting we learn. Some reports say that actually Hajar was the daughter of that king. He was so amazed, he gave his own daughter. Allah Ta'ala knows best whether she was his daughter or she was the previous king's daughter. But she came from a noble background. And anyway, now she's with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now it's clear, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam could not have children from Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha alayhi salam. But then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wedded Hazrat Hajar, or she was his slave girl. Whichever of the two, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala made it permissible. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, bore Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam a child, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this, interestingly, comes in the Bible as well, Genesis chapter 16, verse 15. So Hajar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hajar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hajar bore Ismail to Abram. So Abram, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he had a child, and he was 86 years old. This was his first son. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was told to take Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to take his son Hazrat Ismail to the lands of Makkah. And this is known as Paran, the desert of Makkah Mukarramah. This is so beautifully mentioned in the Quran Kareem, Surah Ibrahim. In this chapter, Surah Ibrahim, verses 36, Allah Ta'ala mentions how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam took his wife, Hazrat Hajar, and his son Hazrat Ismail, and he left them in the desert of Makkah Mukarramah. And as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was leaving his son there, and he's walking away, Hazrat Hajar was worried. So she said, oh Ibrahim, you're leaving us here? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, not wanting to disrespect Allah Ta'ala in any way, He didn't respond at that moment. Until when she asked repeatedly, she then said, Allahu amaraka bihada. Has Allah commanded you to leave us here? And when he indicated, an-na'am, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded this. And subhanallah, her reaction of such faith, subhanallah, إِذَنْ لَيُّضَيِّعَنَا. In that case, Allah will never, ever forsake us. Now imagine Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam always wanted a child. And Allah now blessed him with Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And now he leaves his child and he walks away. The Quran al-Kareem expresses his dua in verses 36. رَبَّنَا وَأَوْرَبْ إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Oh, Arab, indeed, I have left my offspring, my progeny, my child, in this valley that is that has no habitation, that is barren, غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. But Allah, it's by your holy house. Oh Allah, subhanAllah. Imagine, there's nothing there. The Kaaba Musharrafa is not even there at that time. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam knows that the Kaaba was here, and this is the place of the Kaaba. But there's nothing here, totally barren. Oh our Rabb, لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Oh Allah, make it that they perform their salah. Imagine, he's leaving his family alone in the desert, and the first dua he's making is, Allah, no matter what their plight, no matter what the environment, no matter what the situation, never let them neglect their salah. Then the second thing he asks Allah, oh Allah, make the hearts of the people, tahwi ilayhim, be kind towards them, yearn for them, be good to them. So when people come, don't let people push them around. Protect them, oh Allah. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And oh Allah, provide for them with fruit, with food. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. And even that, so that they may be thankful to thee. Last he says, Allah, food and fruit. And even the food is not just for any reason. Allah, so that they are thankful and they are appreciative. Anyway, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam makes this dua. And imagine he asks and starts with salah. Allah give us all of it to prioritize our salah and to exhort our children and our progeny and our offspring with salah. This will protect their iman. This will keep them connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves. And Hazrat Hajar is there with her child. And now she fed him whatever she could from her milk, because there was a little bit of date still there, and she drank the water, and after some time when that was finished, now there's nothing left, and she's worried, and she goes up and down the mountain looking for something and some help for her child, because now after some time her child starts to cry, and after some time also what happens is, because of her exhaustion and because of the lack of food, there's no more milk in her chest, and now she's going up and down the mountain, Safa and Marwa, Marwa to Safa, Safa to Marwa. And subhanallah, after that, she sees or she hears the sound, and she goes closer. And subhanallah, it was the angel of Allah digging the well of Zamzam right by Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. Something interesting about that's mentioned in the historical report here, chapter 17, verse 20. And this you can share with all your Christian friends and so forth. That ask them, see this verse, that you don't want to accept the progeny of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. The verse is chapter 17, verse 20 says, and as for Ismail, I have heard you. Meaning Allah is telling Ibrahim alayhi salam, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. And the verses also then mentioned in verses, then it mentions Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam and so forth. But Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam was born years later, 13 years later. In verses 23, so Abraham, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, took Ismail, his son, all who were born in his house and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Ibrahim's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. So that verse is clear that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam circumcised at that time also, because he was the first person to circumcise. Allama Ibn Kathir mentions this and comes in the hadith. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam circumcised at the age of 86, and he used a qadum. And qadum can refer to an axe, or it can also refer to an area. Either he circumcised at that area, or that was the tool he used to circumcise. Anyway, then the verses continue that Ibrahim was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ismail, his son, was 13 years old. And when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that very same day, Hazrat Ibrahim a.s. was circumcised. Anyway, Hazrat Ibrahim a.s. So clearly in that verse, 17:20, Allah says, I will make Ismail a great nation. They will bear the fruit. In some of the versions of the Bible, it says, I will make him fruitful. So it refers to his progeny. And it also refers to them bearing the fruit. And also clearly, in this Old Testament, it says, Allah says to the Israelites, I will give the kingdom of God to an unlettered nation, and they will bear the fruit. And also it says clearly, I will make you jealous of them, that they will be unlettered, but they will obey the command of Allah, of God. So clearly in these verses, as they all can see, that it refers to the offspring of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and it refers to the unlettered people, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is known as the unlettered messenger. Even though he's the most knowledgeable of all Allah's creation, but this is his title, and that's part of the miracle, that he won't read and write. And that's why his ummah is known as that, the unlettered people. And the Jews used to refer to them as the Gentiles. That's why in Genesis, in Isaiah 42, it's clearly mentioned that this final Nabi of Allah will be sent to the isles, the islands, the coastlands, including the Gentiles. And now, the previous Anbiya alayhi salam that I mentioned, the few of them, are sent to the Bani Israel. Even Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he was sent to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. But the final Nabi of Allah will be sent to the islands, the isles, the coastlands, and he will be sent to the Gentiles as well. So clearly, it's referring to the final Nabi of Allah who sent to the whole world. And that verse in Isaiah says, and he will sing to the world a new song, referring to the Quran. And he will call out the greatness of Allah in the horizon. That refers to Allahu Akbar, the takbir. Anyway, we'll continue with the discussion, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, inshallah, about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he leaves his son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and his wife, Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, in the lands of Makkah Mukarramah. One or two things I will discuss: how the Bible refers to the king at that time as the Pharaoh, but the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the Quran, when discussing the kings at that time, does not refer to them as the Pharaoh. And historically, the kings of Egypt in the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was not known as the Pharaoh. That's why the king of Egypt in the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was known as the Pharaoh. So interestingly, even the Bible uses Pharaoh for Yusuf alayhi salam, but when the Quran al-Kareem speaks of the king of Egypt, it does not use his title as the Pharaoh. So how beautiful and perfectly historically as well is the Quran al-Kareem. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to serve the truth and spread the truth. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi.